Hello, church family. This is Pastor James McManus with Word of God Ministries. I want to thank you for tuning in to today's podcast. My prayer today is that this word encourages and deepens your faith. Again, thanks for tuning in.
We read in 1 Peter chapter 1. Just hold your Bible open there just for a second. But let me reiterate a verse that we've been looking at each week in the series, and that's 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. So if you would, put that down in your notes. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12 talks about how are you viewing the trial? How are you viewing the trial? And it uses the word strange twice, saying, don't think it's strange that you're going through something. And I'm convinced that no matter the source of our trials, the enemy wants to use our trouble, our trials, our tribulations. That's three T's. Persecutions, problems, people. He wants to use all of these things that add drama to our life to ultimately get us offended at God. That's where the enemy wants to take whatever it is that we're going through. That we would get offended at God and say, okay, God, if you're so good, why is this happening to me? If you're so good, why has this come into my life? And that is the end result that the enemy would love to do with our trials. So 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12 is making it clear. It's saying, hey, don't think it's strange that you're going through something. You've not been picked on. You've not been pointed out. And you're not alone in this. It's not strange that you're going through a trial. Everybody's going to go through a trial at some point. There's no making our lives exempt of trials. They are going to come. And what we're going to deal with is five ways that you can view the trial. Today I want to talk about, is God setting me up to prove his word? Is this a trial of faith where God is calling me to get in his word and stand on his word and make this a trial of faith? It's not to say that God has sent this trial. It's not to say that this report that you've received came from God. It's not to say that he's the source. It is to say that in this trial, I'm going to find a promise in the word of God. And I'm going to apply my faith, and I'm going to have faith in the fire, and I'm going to give God an opportunity to prove his word and to make his word good in my life as it relates to what I'm going through right now. Is everybody ready to talk about that for a minute? All right. Well, to understand this better, let's go back to the book of Romans, or go over to the book of Romans, and I want to go to the 10th chapter, Romans chapter number 10. So what we just read in 1 Peter 1 was that in verse 7 of 1 Peter 1, we will face a trial of faith, a trial of faith. What do you do when your faith is on trial? What do you do when your faith is being tested? What do you do when everything around you is saying doubt the word of God? What are you doing when everything around you says doubt the promise of God? How do you have faith in the trial? What do you do when your faith is on trial? Well, let's talk about faith. And the reason I want to talk about faith is because we can't have this vague definition or interpretation of faith. Because many believers do this, and I've witnessed this through the years, where an individual has this vague faith. And when I say vague, there's no specific promise of God. There's no scripture or promise that they're standing on from the word of God. It's just a vague faith. Yeah, I'm going through something, but I know God will work it out. Well, what are you standing on? Well, God is good. He is good, but what are you standing on? Well, he'll work it out. I know he'll work it out, but what are you standing on? What's giving you faith in this trial? What promise are you standing on? And so what I want to do over the next few minutes is I want to go from the shotgun approach to faith to more of a rifle approach, pinpoint approach to faith as it relates to what we're dealing with. So we'll look at this here in Romans chapter number 10. If you're there, say amen. And I want to drop down to verse number 17. Romans 10, verse number 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Let's read that out loud together. Ready? Read. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So if faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, what is the source of faith? The word of God. The word of God is the source of faith. Not necessarily church. Not necessarily a sermon. You go to church and hear a sermon, that don't necessarily give you faith. I could get up here today and speak a sermon, have nothing to do with faith. We could say we went to church. We could say we heard from a preacher. But faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The word of God is the source of faith. Would you say that out loud? The word of God is the source of faith. This is how I get faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. God has packed his word with faith. You see, words are nothing more than containers. Words can be filled with love. Words can be filled with hate. Words can be filled with wisdom. Words can be filled with foolishness. Words can be filled with fear. Words can be filled with faith. Words can be filled with whatever. They're just vehicles. And God's word is filled with faith. His word is packed with faith. And Hebrews 11, 1 says that faith is the substance of things hoped for, that it is the evidence of things not seen. Verse 3 says that by God's word, he framed the worlds, that everything that you see was made of something you cannot see. God's words have enough faith stuff in his word to always bring his word to pass. Unlike anybody else, God has enough faith in his words to make whatever he says reality. That's why on creation dawn, when he stepped out and saw darkness, the Bible says he said, "Let there be light," and light be. Ever since he said, "Let there be light," there was enough faith in his words to bring his words to pass. And everything that exists, exists by the word of God. When you read the Genesis story in chapter 1 and the account of creation, we see in verse 3, God said. Verse 6, God said. Verse 9, God said. Verse 11, God said. Last verse 33, God saw. What did God see? He saw what he said. God will always see what he said. And if we will position ourselves in his word, we will always see what he said. But where does this faith that God's called us to live by, where does it come from? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So I've got to be intentional about this. And not just when I go to church on Sunday or Wednesday or whatever day of the week. I've got to be intentional about getting in his word, meditating in his word, day and night, letting his word be my meditation. I'm reading the word. I'm studying the word. I'm meditating on the word. I'm confessing the word. As a matter of fact, if you back up in this same chapter to verse 8, he's saying that for you and I to be living by faith, the word will be in our mouth and the word will be in our heart. Watch what he says in verse 8. He says, "But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach." So notice he's saying if faith is operative, if faith is functional, faith is in your heart. Faith is in your mouth. Where does this faith come from? Verse 17. It comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord. But yet there are many believers that when they're going through a trial, they speak a bunch of negativity and doubt and unbelief. And then somebody tries to speak a word of faith over you. And you say, "Well, I have faith." Well, I only shared that because of what you were saying. Well, I know that's what I was saying, but God knows my heart. Oh, so what you're saying to me is that your mouth is not married to your heart. That your mouth can say one thing, but your heart be somewhere else. But that contradicts what Jesus said in Matthew 12, 38, when he said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth would speak. And here in Romans 10, 8, the Bible is saying that there's a relationship when it comes to faith between the heart and the mouth, and whatever's in the heart comes out the mouth. And if you have faith, it's both in your heart and in your mouth. But where does that faith come from? It comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That means I've got to hear his word. word. Allow that word to get in my heart. Meditate on his word. Know his word. And no matter what I'm facing, I'm speaking his word. It's his word that's coming out of my mouth. That's faith. There are really seven steps to walking by faith, but three are essential, and that is hearing, meditating, and confessing the word of God. The trial, the purpose of a trial from the enemy's vantage is to get us to move off of faith. But we've got to make a decision to say, you know what? No, I won't move off what he said, no matter what it may look like, no matter what I am facing. I'm going to stick to what he said. I'm going to hear what he said, think on what he said, and I'm going to speak what he said. Now, Pastor Peter and I were talking about this yesterday, and he brought up something to me that I got to share today, and it was when the disciples were put on a boat by Jesus in Mark chapter 5. Pastor Peter, can I use this right here? This is too good left sitting there, all right? You can share it with our Spanish congregation in Espanol, all right? So in Mark 5, Jesus puts the disciples in a boat, gets in the boat with them, and he says this. He says, we go to the other side. We go to the other side. And so they get in the boat to cross the sea to go to the other side. Halfway across the sea, a storm hits the boat. And Jesus was asleep on a pillow. And the Bible says they went down and they woke Jesus up. And the Bible says that they said to Jesus, "Don't you care that we are perishing? We're about to die on this boat and you're sleeping." The Bible says that Jesus woke up and rebuked the wind and the sea, and there was a peace and there was a calm. And then he looked back at his disciples and he said, "How is it you have no faith?" Why are you afraid, he asked. Where is your faith? How is it you have no faith? Jesus cannot legitimately ask the disciples about their faith had he not told them before the storm hit, this boat goes to the other side. He didn't say the boat wouldn't hit troubled water. He didn't say the boat would not be met with fierce hurricane winds. He didn't say the boat might not be met with a leak. He just said, this boat right here goes to the other side. He gave them that word, and everything that Jesus says always comes to pass. Isaiah 46, 9 and 10, God's word says, "I declare the end from the beginning. I don't wait till it turns out to tell you how it turned out. I will tell you how it's going to turn out before the situation even arises." And when they got in the boat, Jesus said, "We go to the other side." But halfway across, when the storm hit, they forgot the promise of God. They forgot the word of God and thought they were going to die. Why is that? The reason why not only did the disciples do that, we've been guilty at times of doing this, is this. I want you to hear me. The mind always completes an image that it's been given. The mind will always complete an image that it's given. So based on what information we have before an image is presented, we complete the image. You might have done that about me when I walked out of here. You might have walked out of here, saw me and said, "What's that man gonna bring?" You know, you complete the image because of what I look like. I'm not trying to look like Thanksgiving with my brown on. I'm trying to be Baptist. We're always completing images. Let me explain it this way. If I laid out a 12-inch wide, 12-foot long plank on the ground and said, "Hey, could you walk across this without falling off?" No problem. You'd get on that plank like, "Hey, I got this." Because the mind always finishes the image of whatever's in front of it. So 12-inch plank, 12 feet long on the floor, what's the worst that could happen? I step off. And you walk it with no problem. But you could take that exact same plank, 12 inches wide, 12 feet long, and put it 12 stories in the air. And now you won't step out on it. Because the image you have is them wiping you off the street. So now you can't take that step because your mind is completing the image of the board. But the same board laying on the ground, you had no problem with it. The mind is always trying to satisfy an incomplete picture. And it brings itself to a resolution. I saw this once. Jaron was showing me this video of this very thing about the mind and how it plays tricks on us. And so what they did in this video is they had a big tree, and on the left, if looking at the tree on the left side of the tree, you saw a dog's head and its two front legs. And then on the right side of the tree, you saw its hind legs and tail, and it looked like the same dog. When I first saw this, immediately I said, man, that's a long dog. Because it was a wide tree. It's a big tree, big oak tree. And I said, man, that is a big dog. And then they called the dog away from the tree, and it was two dogs. But my mind tried to satisfy what it was seeing, and my mind came to the immediate conclusion, that's just one long dog. But that was not reality. The disciples, when they were in that boat and saw the storm, their mind concluded death. Their mind concluded the boat's going to sink and we're going to die. That was their fear. But Jesus had already given them a different word that should have given birth to a different image. And when he said, this boat goes to the other side, in that trial, they should say, wait a minute, Jesus is never lied. Jesus has never let us down. He said we go to the other side. So they should have envisioned themselves on the other side safe. The hardest thing you will ever do in a trial is to envision God's word having already come to pass, having already walked in that promise. That's where the trial of faith comes in. Can I see the promise of God in my life despite what I'm facing right now? Now, I want to show you an example of this. So come back with me to the book of Genesis. And I want to go to the 22nd chapter. Genesis 22. Can you develop an image, a vision of your future based on God's word despite what you are facing? How will you finish the image? How will you look at it in defeat? Will you look at it as the enemy prevailing? Or will you look at it based on the promise of God? Will you get in his word and find some scriptures that are related to what you're dealing with? Write those scriptures out. Read those scriptures. Meditate on those scriptures. Confess those scriptures. Call the thing that be not as though it were in line with those scriptures. And see God doing what he said he would do. That's the trial of faith. My daddy used to have this saying, if it was easy, everybody would do it. So it's not like everybody's doing this. You know, you might have got your hours cut this week. So you come home and tell your wife, well, baby, I guess we're going to lose the house. Well, why you say that? Well, they cut my hours. Well, let's don't finish that image. Let's don't finish the image that way. You don't want to get a bad medical report and come home and tell your wife, I'm going to die. No, his word said he'll satisfy us with long life and show us his salvation, Psalm 91. I've got to get a scripture that I can build my future on. I got to get a scripture that I can build my hope on that's bigger than what I'm facing right now. And church, I'm not preaching this as if it is easy. Because I'm telling you, this is not easy. It's not called fire for just any reason. It's called fire because it's intense. It's heavy. It's hard. But I have seen the Lord in so many lives, and I've seen it in my wife and I's life. I've seen him be faithful to his word. I have seen him prove his word to me even when it looked like there's no natural way this can happen. I have seen what God can do. I was thinking today how thankful I am for my wife, for Chrissy, because she is a woman of faith, and she, no matter what happens, she will stand on the word of God. I was thinking about how when we were first pregnant with James Christian, our first baby, and we find out from the doctors that this baby cannot go term because of some natural things going on in her body, that the baby would not be a term baby, and that we needed to prepare for this failed pregnancy. And man, immediately my wife went home and got in the word and printed out a sheet of paper with every promise you could ever imagine about childbearing and childbirth. And she had those scriptures everywhere. We had them on the refrigerator and on the mirror in the bathroom. And she gave me a copy, and that was God. And she wrote on the top, I never forget it. She wrote on the top, God's promises for James Christian. And there's this baby in the womb that was not supposed to be born, that wasn't supposed to be here, who were about to celebrate his 16th birthday, who was born in the 95th percentile of other kids of height and weight. But I'm married to a woman of faith. I'm married to a woman of faith that didn't just accept the report and say it's over, but got in God's word and say, okay, Lord, this is a trial. This is a trial trying to take our baby. This is a trial that's trying to change our destiny. What have you said? And by standing on the word of God, we watch God in that trial prove his word and bring his word to pass. I ain't saying this because we got it all together. We're living life just like you're living life. I'm trying to apply faith just like you are. I'm just giving a testimony to let you know that God will take a trial and use it to prove his word good in your life. But there's got to be the promise. There's got to be the presence of faith. And it can't be this vague thing, well, the Lord will work it out. No, I'm talking about it's got to be specific. You've got to know the promise of God as it relates to what you are facing. Now, you might be saying, well, where do I get these promises? Where do I find these scriptures? Download you a Bible app. If you can't do that, you can go on your web browser, go to BibleGateway.com. Put in any word, hit search, look at all the scriptures that are related. There's so many resources out there for you to get scriptures that are related to what you're facing. Whew. Amen. All right, Genesis chapter 22, when you get there, say amen. Hallelujah. Find you a word and speak it. Find you a word and stand on it. I remember when we bought our first property down there at our old location, 8 acres. And man, we didn't have a whole lot of money. Church was small. And I would stand on Nehemiah 2:20, that the God of heaven, he will prosper us. Therefore, we, his children, will rise and build. My wife made it, and I made it a point that every time we drove by that location, we'd stretch our hands and we would quote that verse over that barren property. Didn't have none but weeds growing on it. Thorns. That we would prosper, that God would prosper this ministry, that we could rise and build. You have to have a scripture. You have to have a promise that you are applying to that wayward child, and you're wondering what the end's going to be, and you're resting in, well, I feel like it'll turn out all right. They were raised right. You don't want your faith to be tested, and the only thing you got is that they were raised right. You're putting too much confidence in yourself. On those bad days, you're going to say, well, maybe I didn't raise them right. Where did I miss it? Where did I go wrong? And the enemy will torment you. No, you need something bigger than yourself. You need an Isaiah 54. Verse 13, where God said, your children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of your children. And stand on that word with that wayward teenager that just turned 19 and went crazy. You say, Lord, your word says that my children shall be taught of you, and great will be the wholeness of my child. And Lord, you're not a man that you should lie. If you spoke it, you'll make it good. If you said it, you'll bring it to pass. And you're standing on the word of God. And when that child is back in the will of God, back where they belong underneath his word and worshiping him, you can say God is faithful to his word. Amen. Standing on the word in the trial, speaking the word of God in the trial. An example of this is in Genesis 22. If you're there, say amen. Glory to God. And it came to pass, verse 1, after these things that God did tempt Abraham, set him up. He said, Abraham, he said, behold, here I am. He said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. That's a heavy word. This is the boy that God promised when Abraham had no kids. This is the boy that God promised Abraham and Sarah when the Lord came to Abraham and he said, you know what? I'm going to bring a nation out of you. Kings are going to come out of you. And Abraham said, Lord, I don't know if you paid attention to this, but I have no seed. And God said, look at the heavens. And he looked up at the heavens. He said, can you number the stars? And Abraham said, no, I can't number them. He said, so shall your seed be. Took him out by the seaside. He said, you see the sand? He said, yeah, Lord. He said, so shall your seed be. He gave him these visions and these images of what he would do to a man that had no kids. So he finally gets this miracle baby. And God says, I want you to offer him for me. So they're heading up to this place. Verse 4 says, then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the donkey, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. With the words, I and the lad, read with me. I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. Look at his faith. We go yonder. We go yonder. We come back. See, he's not saying, guys, I don't know what God is up to or why he's doing this, but I got to go off with my boy. I'll be back in a few days. No. He's speaking his faith. He's speaking in line with the promise that God made him, because God had already promised that in Isaac would his seed be named. And I'm going to show you here in a minute that Abraham built a vision of God raising Isaac back up from the dead after he had been altered. But he wasn't wavering in his words. See, when you're in a trial of your faith, I want you to write this down. When you're in a trial of your faith, what you say can be held against you.
I want to thank you for tuning in to today's message on our podcast. If this word encouraged you, visit our website at wogm.com for more information and resources. I'm Pastor James McMenis. Have a blessed week.